Welcome to the campaign. I'm about to put the party in the fast lane. Bring pain to the divine and arcane. Go hard like a bard on cocaine. Unchained, I'm a PC's nightmare. Better believe I'm prepared to go there. Bar fight with 71 bugbears. Put your DPR in a wheelchair. This is the way that it goes. Everyone knows.
Keep on 1, 2, 3, clap. Alright, no, that's the joke. Haha! We're together today. Yeah, so you know, it's gonna be a little bit
of... What are you guys talking about?
What are you guys talking about?
There we go. Alright, everybody. Well, welcome to another episode of What Are You Guys Talking About? We are doing it old school style. You know, COVID's gotten good enough that we're allowed to do this now. We're still roughly 2 meters apart. Like, maybe not exactly 2 meters apart, but... and we hang out all the time, so I'm not really sure it matters anymore. Between
we're
the two
our
of
own
us.
Bubble.
Yeah, pretty much. So, but we are presenting to you another episode of What Are You Guys Talking About in the home of Love Victoria
for the moment,
until his parents get mad at us. you know, and we just wanted to do it old school style for this one. We're going to be talking about a movie that you may or may not have heard of. I'm going to be dropping some details for it in the comment section so you can find it if you need to, but it's called The Gamers. And Ed watched with me what was called the director's cut, which I'm not really sure how much extra footage
it was. It was like 7 or 8 minutes.
I was about to say it was only 70 minutes long to begin with, so I was like, what extra footage is this? But this is a very special, awesome kind of thing for us. So
I mean, it was genuinely a religious experience.
Yeah, so we'll get into how that happened. But first, let me go through the brass tacks, folks. Remember, we are desperately trying to get more fans, subscribers, and everything, and we are growing pretty rapidly now as a company, but I would very much like your support in getting us to grow further. So, you know, I even opened a TikTok account for you kids out there so you can watch me make funny videos about squirrels, which is pretty much what I do right now. And I like them, so you better like them too. So, but... all the social media we have, best place for everything is always www.lovictoria, that's LAVICTORIA, productions.com, okay? Everything's there. The show reel that I still think is better, I just hate the fact that it always says, Happy Halloween, and I'm like, oh, I gotta change that, man, it's so old, but still a great show reel to kind of show you what we've still got in the works, and some of these things are in the works, some things are getting bigger now, which we'll have kind of announcements coming. I don't really want to make them today.
No, because
I feel like I'll jinx it today.
It's in the works.
But he's smirking from ear to ear because we've got some good news coming, which mm-hmm. we will, once we can confirm it all, we will let you guys know. But there you can see Ed's old Ananoski prod stuff. You can see the Dirty 20 videos, which continue to get better and better, Ed. Thank you very much. You make it very easy for the producer with that. Obviously, all the old episodes, and that's another thing I would encourage you, you know, our Bowling for Columbine episode always has the most views out of any of them. People loved it when we did Invincible.
Invincible, yeah. I was impressed.
Which is good, because I think we did a good job of talking about Invincible, and that's very much what we're here for, guys. We want to bring you into our world in the studio, and the things we're watching to get the inspiration we need. That's why we're going to talk about this. So, but that's the best way to get a hold of us. If you'd like to try us on social media, it's very easy. I'm Jason Chirot, Cherot. You can find me on Facebook. That is Edward Burgos. That's Burgos. Very easy to find us there. We also have a page for Love Victoria Productions. On Instagram, we are Jazzy J. Chirot and is it Anano LVP?
Anano LVP.
There we go. Yeah. And then on Twitter, I'm at Mouth Love Victoria and he is at Ananoski Prod. So we do tend to be at least responsive on Twitter. I always find I'm always reading other people's tweets rather than mine on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm an Instagram freak. I like the...
That's the thing. Everybody's got their own thing. I tend to be on Facebook because my parents are on Facebook. Facebook's gone that way now. It's like the big network.
It's the mass media one.
Yeah, so... But then we're on TikTok.
I like the TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok. It's at LVP Film Life, I believe, is what I've named it. And it really is just supposed to be... You know, I'm a young director, or a young filmmaker, and this is, like, the best platform. I have an iPhone 10 that my wife has given me, and I walk around in the forest every day.
Got a little tease of the comic book show with a little unboxing.
That's right. So just whatever I can think of, whenever I can think of it, you know, I'll put things together and put it out there. Some of it will be real, some of it will be fake. Like, it'll be all fun. So that's the whole point with that. There's also a LinkedIn profile if you are in the industry and want to talk to us that way. I had a really nice reach out from Jade. Thank you, Jade, talking about office space in London. You know, we are thinking about it, so thank you for the reach out. And if anybody else needs to get us hold of, like, business needs or stuff like that, that is probably the best way to get a hold of me through that, you know, company page, Love Victoria Productions. My own personal pages there, but I would avoid that like the plague. My boss likes me to keep, and my day job likes me to keep that very far from my other stuff. So there's not much about Love Victoria on my personal page. But that's all the ways you can get a hold of us. And all they would ask is that if you like the show, you like what you're listening to, share it with your friends and let them know. So these are two indie guys that just talk about what they like. They talk about their filmmaking. You know, I do think we have an audience out there, and we are growing that way, but it does require our friends to make sure that they are telling other people about the news as well.
Absolutely.
So that's the disclaimer. That's everything out there. Now, we get to the gamers. So I'm going to shut up because I always do that. Just talk for 7 minutes. And why don't we let Ed talk about the religious experience? Because it was a religious experience. Ed, why don't you tell us about the first time you saw this and how things went down?
Okay, so first time we saw this, we had just come back from the Romford Film Festival. And, you know, we'd had a little bit of a disagreement and a little tiff, as, you know, partners are wont to do.
Mm.
But you were just great, and you said, like, let's just watch this, you know, and this will cheer you up. And you'd been telling me about it for a while. You kept saying, oh, you need to watch this. And again, I had no idea what it was. I had zero expectations. I think you told me that it was old, but not necessarily that it was like no budget, which is what it turned out to be.
Mm.
And like from the very first moment where you get the opening kind of credits, which look so cheesy, but again, it works so well.
Da, 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 da,
the music, da, da. The introduction of the characters with like stat lines for like it's an RPG, right? And that's the thing. I didn't know if it was like gamers as in like video gamers or what, but as soon as that came on, I was like, oh, okay. Holy shit. This is like me. You know, this is why have I not heard about this? And from that moment till the closing line, which is by the girl in the dorm room, where she just says gamers. The way she says it, you know, it just nonstop. I was laughing. And I think one thing that I would be really, really interested to know is we've grown up playing RPGs. We know that world, right? So how would somebody who hasn't grown up playing that, would they still kind of find it funny? And I think the answer is yes.
Well, yes, if you're asking a producer, Ed, and I think you are.
That's what I'm doing.
Well, you know, that's and it kind of leads into what I was going to say about it. So first impressions before we kick off with some amazing spoilers, because this was a hilarious film. Listen, if you ever wanted to know what entices young men to get into D&D and to sit around with their friends and why it's fun for hours. Right. Again, because that's the part that gets my wife every time. Yeah. Remember we had her play and she was like, is this game going to go on much longer? We're like, no, we're not even finished with the first part. You know, she was really good, by the way, Becky. Yeah. You did a great job. You were the greatest orc huntress I've ever seen, you know?
She was a good role player.
She was a good role player. Yeah. But man, she wasn't ready for that length. She was like, we're coming back again for this?
Yeah, it's
so if you want to, if you want a taste of this, you know what I mean, without having to actually play a game, like, this is your best way, because it's funny. It's a funny movie.
It is funny.
It is as low budget as it comes. So all my indie filmmakers out there, like, guys, like, the reason Ed's talking about this, because immediately after the back of this, I said, so that's the comedy I want us to write. Yeah. And he was like, what? I'm like, remember the show I've been telling you about for ages that I want us to write a series for? He's like, I want it to look something like this. And he's like, oh my God, we could so do that. Yeah. I'm like, yes, of course we could, because we're D&D nerds.
Right.
So that's what I mean. You get into the nerdery and you get into it, you know, not without ruining too much of this, because it happens within the first 5 minutes of the movie. You're going to see both sides. So to make the movie, they LARP it as a film. So you're there with them on their quest, and that's how it is for us. We do that in our minds, of course. Right. And then you go back.
Everyone does.
And then the best part is then of course it pans back to the sweaty room in the basement of the college where they're eating like they're eating and drinking
Cheetos and orange soda.
Remember that red soda that you're not even quite sure what the flavor is, but it tastes so freaking good. Yeah, don't try it. That's what gave me diabetes. I tell you,
diabetes
you
know what I mean? In the bottle. Yeah. Yeah, no, I love that the conceit that the way you've got essentially two places. You've got the room where they're playing the game, and then you've got the world that they're actually playing in, and they're dressed like their characters.
That's right. And the comedic timing throughout all of this, like, A, the reason it's funny, and this isn't, again, spoiling too much for you, but it's going to point out the tropes of D&D to you. Okay? And not just D&D, any role-playing
game. Yeah, any role-playing
game. And these are tropes that we know so well, and they make us laugh, but they will make you laugh too because they don't make sense. Yeah. And that's the whole reason they're a trope. But because you're with them, and because the whole thing is only 70 minutes long, like, it's a really enjoyable journey, and you don't have to sit through it that long.
I think it's only 47 minutes long, in fact, because I rewatched it today, and I was like, wow, that is short.
I kept
short.
Telling you it was 70. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because 70 sounds reasonable, like a really short feature, right?
Well, it was no budget, so you know these guys had to do, you know, whatever they had money for, you know? So yeah, 47 minutes, you're in and you're out, and it's the thing is, for, like, D&D, it's one quest. That's the other thing I liked, like... You know, Ed got me back into D&D because, you know, Jason Shiro's secrets. like, I produced the Dirty 20 show. Like, this is me as if you were doing the show, right? Mm. I produced the Dirty 20 show, but for the longest time, like, I didn't play D&D. Like, I knew what it was. And I have tons of the books, but I didn't play. And so Ed brought me over one night, and we played, like, a one-on-one, which you can do. Like, it's completely possible. This was an amazing adventure, and one day we'll make a movie about it, because I was fucking dope as a protagonist, cool. And I was pretty cool. But that's what I mean. Like, it got me back into it, because I remembered what I love about it. This may not get you into D&D. It just may make you laugh, and it may make you say, oh, my God, that's just what these guys do all the time? Like, that's what I'm saying. So, if you're just a general audience person, just watch it. Like, it's funny. It will make you laugh. It's so low budget, you can't laugh at this. But if you're an indie filmmaker, too, like, this is the essence of comedy. The other reason that I brought it up to Ed, and we'll talk about this a little bit when we go into Dead Gentleman Productions, and hopefully we've done some research on that, and we'll talk a little bit more, you know, on what that's going. But it reminded me a lot of something that Ed put me on to that I've been addicted to, It's Always Sunny. And I'm not talking, I've watched, I did for Ed's sake, I jumped ahead to like season 7 to watch an episode, and I'm telling you, I don't like him as much. I'm being honest with you, Ed. I'm really sorry.
Interesting.
Because I'm addicted to like the first three seasons, when it was literally like a camera on a tripod pointed at a bar with some characters. Like, that's what I'm saying, guys. Comedy, just like horror, you don't need much, you just need good writing. And that's what It's Always Sunny did. And I tried to say to Ed, like, that's what The Gamers is. So that's my first impressions from now on, unless Ed wants to give more first impressions.
No. I'd be really interested for people who maybe have never played any RPGs, if they watch the film, and then come back and drop us a message in SoundCloud or whatever, Facebook. Because I'd be fascinated
to know.
That's
it. I mean, and the way this has been marketed. So I picked this back in. It's really sad because before streaming really took off, there used to be ways that you could buy movies like this just online. If you knew where to go, there were different stores. I don't see as many anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But today, this is squarely geared at video gamers. So you can get it on goodoldgames.com, which is one website where you can download tons of old games from the PC and things like that. Or Steam has this, if I remember correctly, on their video section as well. Because if you didn't know, you can buy movies from Steam. Mm. So those are the two ways I think you can still get this movie. Mm. I don't know if it's out on DVD or anything like that. I've never, as I said, I've had a copy of this downloaded since I built my computer, which was like 7 years ago now. So, you know what I mean?
I mean, just the classic, though. It's...
And there are three sequels. And three sequels plus a series. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot to follow up with this. I do hear that they're making more. You know, everybody loved this. I think it's just a lot of these guys have gone on to do bigger and better things now. So, so let's talk a little bit about this. So, this was made by Dead Gentleman Productions in what was the year?
It was in 2002. So, they had put the film company together back in 98 in Washington, in Washington State.
Okay.
And they'd actually done a couple of short films beforehand. One called Demon Hunters.
Okay.
In 99, and one called Demon Hunters Dead Camper Lake.
Okay.
Kind of a follow-up to it. So, obviously, you know, filmmakers, right?
Yeah, so this wasn't like... And it's an interesting thing to say that, because that does explain why... This could go wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I want to put the disclaimer out there as the producer, because unfortunately I've realized that if I don't disclaim things like that, people are like, here, I made this. And it's like, oh my God.
This is so bad.
What did you do? So, and I hate to say that, guys, because don't ever not try. It's just, you know what I mean? You have to try. But,
absolutely.
But this was clearly something that they were refined on. It. They knew how to get the angles a bit better. And it's not like these guys had never seen a camera in their life before.
I mean, I'll be honest. The filmmaking in this film... did nothing for me, other than the fact that the lo-fi elements kind of helped in some ways, and we'll talk about kind of the ending later on, but You know, seeing the kind of early After Effects shots where you're replacing things is just really obvious, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was the beginning of the time when filmmakers could start doing that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, and you know, I still think the basics were there. That's the stuff, because this is the difference between Ed and I. When we make our big announcement, we'll make perfect sense why we made our big announcement that way. But, you know, like, for me, like, I saw my one shots and my two shots. I saw my dialogue the way it was supposed to be. Right. Some really good wide shots. It was like, yeah, well, they've clearly good, at least read enough. The same film yeah. books I have.
Right. They've done the minimum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But then they made the games, and I think it was pretty much an instant classic. You know?
I had, you know, this is the kind of thing. This came out in 2002, so where was that? Was my first year in college. Right. Had someone shown this, my dorm room looks like the dorm room in this. That's why I was so impressed, because that room that they're in for most of it, that I used to, I did differently in there. So that's where I would go play music. I would bring, when I lived in the dorms and I couldn't have my studio, I used to just make one in one of those rooms, and I'd sit there with my guitar and everything all night long, because they would just rent these rooms out to you. And, you know, the funniest thing about dorm rooms in America, and I have no idea what they're like over here, but the dorm situation in America is you dump not teenagers, but young adults into this space, cram them in together, and then everybody walks away. No one gives a shit. It's like a ghetto for
deal with yourself.
Yeah, it's just bizarre, you know, how it works. And, yeah. And so it had that vibe to it, you know what I mean? That whole dark dungeon, well, this is the best we could find for right now. So
yeah.
And you can't piss off the person down the road because she's doing her finals right now. That was dorm culture. That was Taylor Tower. That was the dorm room I was in my first year.
Yeah.
Ran out of that place after my first year.
But then they would go on in 2008 to make The Gamers Darkness Rising.
Right, so, and that is, just because we're not going to talk about those in full on here, but I'll give brief explanations. Darkness Rising is a much longer version of The Gamers. And it's not the same film, it has better production,
It
has more characters. Some of the ones that are in that, those are some of the new characters in that will carry on in the series for the rest of it.
Right.
They were the ones who kind of picked it up. And then other people just drop away. You'll realize that some people didn't come back for the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Continue, sorry. You...
No, and then they did a series called Journey Quest.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that.
Which, I don't know anything about it. I mean, literally, I'm just looking
Journey
at
Quest.
It.
I want to say, now, Ed, I'm going to have to go back home and research this, but okay, so when I got my Xbox 360, right? Mm-hmm. Xbox 360, I think it was the Xbox 360, there was an exclusive on there that was just like this. Okay. So I'm telling you, listeners, if you really want some homework, you know, and you want to help me out here, find this for me and tell me if I'm right. It was based on Warcraft, the online Warcraft.
Yeah.
And it was a series that went, one, the other. And what it was like, you know, you had this girl and she's a comedian. Now, she's actually not a well-known comedian, but someone you'd recognize around. Yeah. And it was her talking about how messed up her life is because she's in this Warcraft group.
Oh,
and they keep coming over to her house and they meet places and they're all, again, this is telling you about how to do good sitcom. Seven characters in that, they all have weird personalities and they all gel.
Yeah.
Trust me, just about everything that Ed and I like that's out there right now comedy-wise follows this formula.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's the Parks and Recreation is the more grown-up version of it. You know, Dan Harmon is the master at this with Community and things like that. Mythic Quest right now out being one of our favorites. But look at all of these. This is how they do it. And I guess I get excited about that, guys, because that's giving you the playbook. That's saying, you know, what I hate the most is people it's already been done before. Of course it's already been done before. That's why we like it. So look at these. If you're like, man, I could write comedy, then watch this. Watch a few of those and you will start getting some really good steers.
Yeah.
Kind of where you want to go.
I think that's the key. I mean, we've for ages we've talked about, it's so hard writing comedy, this and that. But you're right, you know, you look at the stuff you like, you look at the stuff that you find funny, and that's kind of where you start, you know, this was a huge light bulb moment.
Exactly. And that's the things we try to do. So another reason this is such an important episode and why this meant so much to Ed is because this is how we grow as filmmakers. It's not, and you still have to watch the episode of Mythic Quest tonight because it speaks to this specifically.
Talk about it.
If you haven't seen the latest episode of Mythic Quest, there is a scene in there that talks about why you should never give up, because it's the only way you're going to get what you want. You know what I mean? And I firmly believe that. And I have to say, Ed's been with me for 4 years on this. Am I right or am I right? Every time we bang on doors and I say, we can do this, somebody gets behind us and says, okay, well, he really believes in this. You know what I mean? And that's really all it takes, because all of us are writing stories. God, my friends network, I think there's a new podcast that comes out every day. There's a new article every day. There's people writing scripts. And you know what? I'm not shitting on any of that. All of you should be doing it. The only thing is, no one's going to publish your stuff if you don't get out there and say, please publish my stuff, because it's good. Even when it's not.
Yeah. So that they went on to do Journey Quest, a couple of seasons of that, and then they did the game as Hands of Fate, which I think is the Magic
and Gathering. We may do one on that one because jeez, like jeez Louise, you got me my box, by the way. That was the thing. The D&D coming out. D&D mm-hmm. and Magic are crossing over. Yeah, it's man. Like my two favorite mistresses are fucking. Like, I'm so pleased. And
they're inviting you to join them.
So, like, you know what I mean? Like, please, birthday presents, guys. Like, as many boxes of that as I can see, you know? So, but, you know, it was interesting because that one goes back to the heart of it. And even though it was more production value than the original, it took what it did for RPG, it does for trading card games, and points out some of the ridiculous pretenses that we have. Like, I play Magic the Gathering, or I did. I don't really play it as much anymore because it is a very intensive game. And when you play, like, Ed knows, because my friends at Ed Now Season, they're probably still asking, where the hell is Jason? Because I just disappeared like a year ago, because it's like the most complicated game of chess you've ever played. And
It's very heady.
Very cerebral. Very heady. And that's why when I picked it up, all of a sudden it was like, I mean, what was it, 6 months? I'm like, I think I'm going to go pro on this. And you're like, slow down there, pony. Slow down. You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. This took that and showed just why those of us that play that game and play games like that are just a bit messed in the head. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And I like that. Again, I like that they're able to kind of see into this subculture and get comedy out of it, and also present it to the world in a way that I think the games themselves don't do a very good job of. They appeal.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think you've just hit on why the comedies work, though, because it's not just comedy either, because next week I think Ed and I are going to do Indie Game the Movie, because I want him to see that, because I need him to get a little fired for this big announcement we're going to get, and I just think this is going to be something that will be like, yeah, but that's another subculture. And every time you can take the camera and stick it on these subcultures and point out to people why they're interesting, you've got something. I mean, you can do it documentary format or you can do it in comedy format. But again, like, that's what we're here for, guys, because this is how we write. This is how I make the stuff that I go to people and say, dude, we got to put this together. You could, too. Just watch these things and it's like, oh, wow. Like,
and, we've been talking a lot about Mythic Quest. We talked a lot about Ted Lasso. That
subculture of a video game room. You know what I mean?
Ted Lasso, football subculture.
Oh, my God. Which is, and see, that's a great one to bring up, because we're going to do, when season 2 premieres, we will do a full episode on Ted Lasso, because I'm telling you, like, Ed told me about it. Actually, no, I have to tell the truth. Dan, my brother-in-law, who's back in Cincinnati, love you, Dan. Hope all's well. Hope AJ's doing good. But he was the one who told me, he says, have you watched Ted Lasso yet? And I'll be honest, like, he's my buddy, but we're a million miles away. So it's like, it's on my playlist. And it was. Like, I wasn't watching.
There was not much that appealed to
me. Exactly, because I'm not into soccer. I'm like, soccer. And I wasn't, you know, the other mistake I was making was I wasn't watching Apple TV. Guys, be watching Apple TV. It's so good. Like,
once he realizes somebody's on Apple TV, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm definitely really is
so good. Like, it's just, he always hears me complain about this, but I have little time. I want to consume media the fastest way possible. I have little time to go through menus for stuff, and I'm telling you,
Netflix is your nemesis.
Nemesis for that, right? Because I can't go on Netflix. It's just
a black hole of time.
Exactly.
Hole of time.
Ed has fixed that. Ed has fixed that by just telling me to watch.
Go watch that.
Go watch you that will now. Like, watch This Is Pop. Watch that about the music. I'm like, oh, I like those. And he's like, exactly. Now you're watching Netflix again. But I can't.
But that's the frustrating part, is that there is good quality content on there. But it's hard to find.
And let me tell you, and I don't know if you'll know why this is. Maybe you can explain it to me. But the thing that, like, makes me want to retch is when it's like, do you want us to suggest something to you? I'm like, no, I don't want you to suggest something to me. I should be able to turn on your show and figure out what I want to watch. You know what I mean? Like, it just annoys the living
piss out of me. It's become a meme. That's what I mean. Let's Netflix and chill. Okay, let's watch menus for a couple of hours and then
that's what happens. And I just, you know, like,
Hey, back to the gamers, though. So, yes. So, they've done stuff. And in fact, the first two films that I mentioned, Dead Hunter, I think they're called, they're feature-length films. Again, they're young university students showing their stuff on campus and stuff.
Absolutely.
with the gamers, I think they cracked it.
They knock it out of the park, yeah.
And I think that they've then put themselves in a niche where anything that they bring out from the perspective of
built
that,
their audience, because anyone who came and watched that would be like, well, they're going to do more of this, right?
Exactly.
And then they came back, and that's how they expanded that base, I'm sure, especially when you up the production value. But it brings up a good point, something that we were talking about before, again, referencing Mythic Quest, you know, trying. That's the fall down moment. And then I, God, Ed knows this a lot more than I do. You know what I mean? But guys, like, trust me, you know, Justin McConnell's probably the most famous guy. And Justin, you are famous to me. So I'm sorry if you're like, I'm not famous. You know, he did Clapboard Jungle, which right. is all about indie filmmakers. And I mean, it's three yeah. quarters of a depressing film. Like, it's not until the end. Obviously, you know, I'm not rooting for you to find out like everything's okay in the end. He ends up getting his film. And even today, though, like that film's been released, and I'm not sure. Justin, you have to tell me how it's. I see that you're busy, but I don't. You know, I don't know if you're riding high on stuff or that you're back on, because what he explains to you in the film is he makes one. And then it's like, okay, now it's the whole thing all over again.
Yeah.
And so you have to try to even get there, and you have to keep trying. Like, it's not a matter of, I've made this, I'm done now.
Right.
And I suffer from this just as much as everyone else. I have a day job. I have a really hard day job. And so, man, sometimes I just want to throw it, you know, in whatever. And that's when I call Ed, or I call my mom sometimes. Mm. Like, Mom! You know, I talk to my wife. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that's what you have to do. Mm. Like, there's no getting around it. You know what I mean? You never, unless you are born this way, you know what I mean? Like, you're just not going to have instant success. Why? Because you're not going to be any good at it.
Right.
But let me tell you, like, people were more willing to back someone that's shit at something but really believes in their ability to do it, more so than somebody who's perfect but just doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. So that's what I'm saying. You have to try. If your first script doesn't work out, write another. Write four. Please do not come to me anymore, because I have so many scripts, and say, I've written one script, man. I finally did it. Like, I know you all are really proud of that, and I'm proud of you too, but that's not the end. Mm. Once you've got that script written, it needs to be revised, and then write another.
Right. You've got to have a kind of portfolio.
If that's what you want to do. And all I'm saying is, like, you know, unfortunately, there's people that talk film industry to me, and they're always like, so I've got this one script. And I'm like, well, where's your other one? And it's like, and I'm sorry, that's the kind of level we're at with producing now, where we're trying to field people out to the right company or the right whatever. And it's like, you've got to have like five things to offer them.
The last thing you want is to be in a pitch meeting where you're pitching this thing that you've been working on and sweating and you know, after your 5 minutes,
and what do I say?
The producer's like,
"What else you got?
Okay, what else have you got?" And then you're like, "Fuck,
we've been there." Don't get me wrong; we're not telling you because we haven't been caught out this way twice, three times, probably a dozen times. Like, well, that's all we had for today. But just let me get writing, and we'll get right to it.
Let me pull this out of my ass.
Exactly. Which I've had to do that a couple times, haven't I? So, you know what I mean? Like, guys, like, it's a never-ending battle, and that's what makes filmmakers. That's what makes people
artists
want to do this.
As well, musicians.
And that's what the gamers showed. Yeah. Like, these guys clearly showed that they had love and passion
love
for what
passion.
They did, and
yeah.
that's why they
love
churned out
passion.
More and more of this, yeah. more and more of this. So,
and they got success out of it, which again is super encouraging, you know. But what were some of your kind of favorite elements or favorite bits of
so let's go more into we've done the whole production talk. Now I'll get off the high horse and acting like I'm a producer that actually knows, and I don't know shit, guys. You guys know that. Anybody listens to this show long enough,
he's on a humble kick, don't worry, guys.
Yeah.
he'll be back next week.
No, I mean, what did I love about this film in content-wise? Wow. I mean, it's really hard to just pick one thing, and that's not me searching.
I had to write a fucking list.
Man. I would say, like I said it to you over the phone, my favorite character, and he'll know this, is the Rogue. Because the Rogue is me. Like, he was like, the guy walks up to the bar and he's like, I take his wallet.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, so he takes the wallet, and you hear, ching.
Yeah.
And he's like, I take his knife. Ching. And then, yeah, you're just sitting there like, I take his pants.
And you're like, of course. And you hear the dice roll, and you hear the frustration in the guy who's playing the DM going, oh, you take his pants. And the guy who's playing the NPC, who's just got the tankard and he's not moving at all. That's what I mean. That lo-fi element.
That was, dude, let me tell you, anytime I tell a bunch of D&D guys about Mark the Red, they die. Scott. So I was talking to Scott about it, and he's like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, he's not there, right? Yeah. So basically, there's a character in the story, if you haven't watched this, you should have watched it by now, because we said spoilers, but Mark the Red, obviously, like, it's because he's not there. And he's one
of the friends of the party, but he's, and this happens any D&D
always
player,
always happens. I'll
tell you that this is true. He's just not there for the session,
right?
And then they have to keep remembering. Oh wait, isn't Mark supposed to? Oh yeah, he's over there.
He's over there. And he just stands there.
But then they pay it off so brilliantly.
Oh yeah.
Because honestly, that could have just been a throwaway joke.
But again, that's where we go back to production. They paid off through. I mean, that was like some Alka-Seltzer tabs, and it was just hilarious.
So Mark, the guy who plays Mark the Red, he comes in at one point, and it's kind of in a important moment because they're in the middle of combat, and everyone's like, "Yay, Mark is here!" And Mark sits down. And he's like, "Okay, what's going on?" And he explains, and he's like, "Am I there? Yeah. Can I go berserk?" It's like, yeah. And then it cuts to Mark the Red, who moves for the first time. And like Jason says, he's got Alka-Seltzer in his mouth.
Red. They put some red dye in Alka-Seltzer. I said, there you go, guys. Foaming at the mouth with blood.
And then he just goes insane. That, easily one of my favorite things.
It brings up a good point, though, that I just thought of it. Now, the only trope it skips, and I want to say, this is, again, when you're doing your comedies right, and you're thinking of how to do this, I understand why I would do this in a film. I don't know, or in a show. I don't know if you'd feel the same, but combat as it's shown is not realistic to D&D. The one thing that really kills people sometimes when playing D&D, my wife was one of them, is like how slow combat is. I take 5 steps forward, draw my bow and fire. Yeah. Then the next person moves and you're like, oh my God, how long is this going to take? You know what I mean? Like, it's not, that's just the way it has to do, so everybody gets a chance to participate.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. For sure. But again, like that, I think maybe that whole section of the film where they have this encounter in the forest, I think that whole thing is probably my favorite in the whole film. Because you've got the bandit king who comes out and they won't let him finish his speech. They're like trying to kill him. And the DM's like, God damn it, let me finish talking. This is when I get to shine, God damn it. You know?
And Ed had a lot of love for the DM in this one.
A lot of love and sympathy. I wrote down just everything.
The other thing that Ed loved about the DM, and I hadn't picked up on, I've watched this. I used to fall asleep to this film. That's why I can hum the theme tune, because it's what I used to put on, because the theme tune is nice and it used to make me fall asleep. There's this scene in the bar. We're back to the bar. And it's in between two of the great thief scenes where, you know, he catapults this poor guy. But the guy comes in and he goes, I'm going to kill you, you bastard. I'm like, oh my God, that guy has such a stupid accent. I guess it was some actor. And they couldn't get him. He's like, no, you idiot. That's because the DM has to make the voice. And so he's just trying to think of it.
I do all the time. I do a German accent. Yeah, hello. It's very good to meet you, yeah. That's what DMs do, man. We do terrible accents to make our NPCs memorable. And the line from, I think the character's called Hunk.
Which is a great name for a big character, right?
He takes off and he's like, I'm going to kill you, dead. D-E-D, dead. He even like misspells dead.
It's so quality. So of course, my favorite scene, the rogue goes behind him, and because you get extra points in D&D when you backstab. Yeah. So that's what thieves do. They, you know, again, another great Jason Grayson concept. I'm really good at backstabbing. But if you go back, you get like triple damage. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna launch a catapult out of him.
He's like,
a ballista.
Can I use a ballista to backstab him?
And they're like, I guess. And so then you have to point out the ridiculousness of it. They like drag the ballista in while the guy's just standing there.
He like rolls really well and he just explodes.
That's right. The next scene is like drippings of the guy all over everybody.
Marinara sauce over the actors and they're like, awesome. I mean, and then there's another great moment which had me in stitches, was when they were sleeping.
Camp watch, and you had the barbarian
like watching, and something happens, right? He gets like a vision or whatever. And immediately the other
Did you
players,
notice, by the way, that the woman he sees obviously is the girl down
I
the hall that's
at
been
first. Yeah,
yeah, it's funny because one of them has a crush on her, obviously, and so yeah, that's why she ends up as like the maiden and everything.
Right,
and like,
she's,
oh,
she's the princess.
They really love this girl. That's yeah, why they're like, oh man, she's pissed at us again.
and so the other characters immediately start chirping in and, oh, what do you mean you're lost? And the DM has to keep reminding him,
you're asleep.
And then they fall down. Oh, yeah.
It's his voice, too. The guy they got for that. Like, this is the thing. The rest of them are all, like, actors. And the DM was, like, as close to a DM as you can get. Like, he really looked a guy that, like, that's all he did. Like, he doesn't want to act. He doesn't want to do. He just likes playing his D&D.
Yeah.
And so he makes it so dry sometimes it's perfect. You know, like,
yeah,
you're still asleep.
Yeah. And so that, it's a brilliant gag. And they do it really well. But then, again, another moment that just had me in stitches. So when they reach the river, and they're like, yeah, you remember that, right?
Because I warned you. I started laughing before it came out. I'm so sorry. I ruined the joke. I'm like, no, wait, you'll see it. Can you tell it?
So they're at this river that they've got to somehow cross. Again, Mark the Red is off to the side. And the DM goes, wait a minute. Ambrose, who's like the guy, the wizard in the party, haven't you forgotten your paralyzing fear of water? And he goes, oh, yeah. And then they smash cut to, like, them back there.
That's why it works, because it's such a smash, because then all of a sudden... And the best part is, like, that is such a good trope, because, like, I've done that. So Mouser, I think, is the last character I've used in one of your campaigns, and I'm, you know, it's backstory.
Exactly, backstory.
Right?
Backstory.
What, my nebula?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So I write big backstories to my characters.
And then you always forget them.
And I always forget them. Or I think the other funny thing with backstories that doesn't come out in this movie, but I remember this from playing with you, is like, sometimes you don't, like, I write my own backstories and I'm not a big D&D player, so sometimes you write things that are completely outside of, like,
it's like, why?
So I was in the middle of this table, like, eating dinner with everybody, and then all of a sudden I just profess my love for Cthulhu to all of them. And, like, you can hear a pin drop in the room. They're like, are you insane?
That's right. Everyone's like, wait, what? Yeah. But that's one thing that I think they tapped into, something that was later became very popular. Like that idea of the cutaway that Family Guy is really famous for. Right.
The joke.
Yeah.
And then,
the joke,
and then
smash, and that's the
Hitler juggling pineapples.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Or exactly that kind of cutaway. Very smart, very, very
funny. That was the two things. It was that, Family Guy did that, and then the other joke that always worked for them was the holding too long.
Yes.
I still love that comedy. Where you put something really awkward on the screen, and then you just hold it for just that extra 5 seconds. People are like, ooh.
Yeah. Until it gets uncomfortable, yeah. And then, of course, immediately afterwards, because the wizard can't cross the river, they're like, oh, we'll just knock him out.
Right.
And I've seen this happen, where like players are trying to get someone unconscious and they accidentally kill that character.
Well, and this is done with great panache in the thing.
Really
so
well.
So again, using what little this was a special effects, it was a camera trick. Mm. You know what I mean? I guess it is special effects, right? But it's a very basic type
visual
effect. But you know, they have the barbarian finally walk up to him and do this after he's already been punched in the face.
Yeah,
by the
bunch
way,
bunch of times
by
other people.
Everybody else, like, oh, this is not working. So he does it, and then the guy goes flying up in the air, and it's what are they, again, it's the gag,
it's
right?
The gag,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a simple gag where they just move the camera,
yeah,
and you're like waiting, you're waiting,
they're
waiting
up,
and then they just
up,
you know, they dressed up a doll, drop it like a sack, but you're just laughing so
yeah,
hard, like you're not even looking at
again,
it. Like,
the lo-fi-ness of it is adds to the funniness.
And
of
I think
it, yeah,
again, I'm always trying to like, how does it affect my writing? How can it help yours? Like that's what I'm talking about, like. Here, the gags carry the lo-fi.
Mm.
And again, I would tell you to watch It's Always Sunny,
yeah,
because that's how that
it
works.
It does it very, very
they,
well.
They, you know, It's Always Sunny, and I guess we're going to do a little bit of cross-collaboration on this one with that. It's Always Sunny always opens with some title that is going to make you, like, the first time you see it, you're a wretch. Now,
yeah,
by the time you're on season three, you're kind of used to them, but,
yeah,
you know, I remember the one that really got me was, like, the gang finds a dumpster baby. And I was like,
yeah,
holy shit!
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's,
you know,
they don't,
the gang gets
back,
racist, you
yeah,
know? But again, it immediately puts you on, like, what's
yeah,
this about? And
yeah,
then, like, the gags just flow. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, if you write something that's funny,
mm,
then you can get away with a little bit more on the camera.
Mm.
So the next time, you know,
yeah,
the gang, blah, 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 it always opens on a dingy bar,
yeah,
a one, you know, a three shot usually,
yeah, yeah,
of them sitting at
the
bar doing nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, all of a sudden you don't care because you're listening. Like, what are they talking
yeah,
about? Like,
that's a very interesting thing. By kind of stripping something down,
right,
it almost
right,
makes you pay more attention. It makes you, like, kind of get like things because you're paying attention.
It's just, it's why I get excited. My whole drive as a producer in indie is to get people to take what they don't think is possible to make it into something possible. That's all it is. And I don't have any money to do that for you guys. So it's all about how can we do this with your talent or your craft. Right. And I'm not saying talent like you come to me and you have it naturally. I'm saying how have you worked on this script so much that all of a sudden there's no way people won't laugh at this because it's just timed so perfectly.
And again, as Jason said earlier, that it's the kind of thing that, you know, you do have to juggle this. Don't put all your eggs in a basket, but put enough eggs in the basket. Do you know what I mean?
That's
enough
right. Work and, into... and the other thing I will say is this is why you need teams. So I am not actually, I can see it when I can see it on TV, but my writing, like it's someone I need someone else to look at to say, is this timed correctly or not? That is why you have heard from Michael James Dean. He's one of my buddies. You know, I'm going to even come all about this big thing we're working on to see if he wants to wants to be part of that. Because I think he'd help. Because his comedic timing is always spot on. English or American comedy. I just find he knows what he's doing. And so I trust his opinion if he says, yeah, that works or yeah, that doesn't work. But on my own, like I'm, you know, horror, I guess I could do it.
Yeah, it's not necessarily kind of your wheelhouse or what you always
so,
kind of...
Because the other person we talk to occasionally, we do owe you a call, is Bonita. You know, Bonita was
she's
just...
She's funny.
Yeah, and she just gelled. She understood where we were coming from. I mean, she calls us Abbott and Costello because she just finds us that funny. But we needed her to kind of say, how would we bridge this or how would we do this? Like, you need people that spot it like that.
Do you remember that show that she did where it was like the group therapy for the like crewmen
did she have a YouTube clip for that?
She must do.
I think so. Go through some of our correspondence. We'll put it in the comments so we can find it. Because we really, you know, she's awesome. You know, as I said, I got to brag because she had that bit part in Stargirl as well. And I was like, I know someone that was on real TV, you know? She did a really good job in that part.
Louis as well.
Exactly. So, but that's what I mean. Build your team. You know what I mean? Don't think that you have to do this all by yourself. I don't do anything by myself. I am far too busy.
That's not entirely true. I mean, you do a lot of writing. I do.
I would say, like, it's just like sports to me. I do the fundamentals myself.
Yeah, it's your
like,
workout. It's your
exactly. I make sure I write something every night, whether it's, you know, a gag, a log line or something. Why? Because this is my business now. This is an angry email. Oh, sorry, Ed. Sorry.
No, I'm joking.
He's seen those before. I do that in my day job. I get that out all day. You know what I mean? Like, nothing like a well-placed email.
Yeah, like a really,
Ed,
like...
Ed's just impressed because that bleeds over.
Shitting on someone, like...
Well, that's the only thing. So obviously, in my day job, I don't shit on people, but I'm a troubleshooter for a big company. So, you know, in insurance. And so I have to write very delicate emails on very delicate subjects. Ed has, of course, seen that when that comes to... That's why I got kind of hemmed as the producer because... I'm the one that can send that email to the person that has said no to us and being like, well, I really think you should reconsider for the following reasons. And when I put those reasons, they won't be very nice. You know what I mean?
again, back to the gamers. The final thing that I will say about that, like, whole forest fight and everything, they looked like they were having so much fun. They just got a bunch of friends dressed up in, like, their crappy costumes and stuff like that. It was just glorious.
Yeah, I think I love that point too because for me, like, it's why I go back to the Clapboard Jungle because when that came out and we watched it, I think that was at Fright Fest, the digital one is when it came out.
Yes,
so I was talking to everybody via Facebook because I had Dandelions coming out and God knows, like, you couldn't get me off the computer to tell everybody, are you watching Dandelions? Have you watched it? It was literally like a 5-minute short that I think like 20 of my friends watched. Like, good job. But it was like, for me, it was the biggest thing since sliced bread. You know
dude,
I mean?
It was a big deal.
You know, it was a huge deal for me. Thank you again, Fright Fest, for choosing to put it there. But in the context, like, everybody was talking about Clapboard Jungle. Like, the only thing I don't like is how depressing it is. Like, guys, like, I know it's hard, like, because I tell this to Ed all the time, because Ed fits into the normal film, what I would say normal, like, filmmaker crew tend to be like this a lot, like, they get down, because it's hard, man, it's 12-hour days, you know, crew, everyone thinks these guys get paid a boatload, like, nah, man, like,
it's,
the crew
it's
people we
the
know
not glamorous
have, like, the most normal lives you've ever seen, and they don't get to see their families, and so there is a raft of depression that can come with, like, man, this is never going to amount to anything, like, you gotta break that. You are doing something, no matter what, you are doing something that, at least to me, is like one of the coolest things you could ever do in your life. And trust it, take it. That's why I said, take it from a guy who has done lots of other things and has worked a lot of other jobs. Like, this is, if it's your passion, this is what you could do. And a lot of other people want to do it and can't do it. So,
unfortunately, it is kind of one of the things that kind of gets ground out of you, you know, with, just the realities of jobbing, like crewing. Now, I'm 100% behind you, because the people who I've seen who maintain that kind of love for it, even in the hard times, are the people who are also like creatively involved. Like that they'll go and they'll make things and they'll do things.
And that's why, like, that's why this is an indie film discussion. Like, don't get us wrong. Like, we have said it a million times. I'll say it again. You know, we get that first feature out there and somebody likes it and says, can you please go direct Star Wars? Can you please go direct MCU? Can you please direct a Dungeons & Dragons movie? I'm not going to say no. Hell no. I'm going to be
or running. Or even like first AD or second, anything, fifth AD.
Anything. Like, we will work for peanuts. You know what I mean? We don't care. Like, we're not saying we wouldn't want that. But our passion lies in what we have now, which is our control over the script, our control over the story.
Yeah.
You know, and the more people you put in the mix with that, the more you lose. So if you're going to do it that way, Jesus Christ, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Please have fun with it, because
I think Richard Roundtree is a perfect example.
He told you that, because he does both. He's a greensman on some of the coolest things. We can't talk about which ones he's on, but like, you know, Google his IMDb and it's like, or IMDb his name, and I'm telling you, we were blown away.
Yeah,
and for him, like, nuts. He is like, he does like his job. It's just, it's not comparable to the indie work he does. And he will tell you, like, he's working on Mask of the Devil right now, and it's like, that's his passion.
Kieran was the other one, right? That we met.
And exactly. We couldn't believe. We were like, dude, you've done all this stuff. He's like, yeah, I really like it. But he's like, but this is what I want to work
this
on.
Is, yeah, this and, is and, where
you
I
know,
Kieran's really
a great this. Example. Shout out to you, buddy, because we haven't talked to you in a while. But Kieran, like, you know, we were kind of just like helpers on that. We told him we like this, we don't like this. He didn't even need us, man. He was already I've got a shot, I've got it. This. He wanted to show us. And that's the beauty of it. When they realize how passionate you are, you don't even care. You're like, produce it, man. I just want to see it when it's done. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm saying. Like, don't get jealous. Don't get mad. Don't get whatever. Love it. Just love it, love it, love it. And if you don't get what you want, then do something else. Do it again. You know, like, no one is holding you back in the film industry but you.
Yeah.
That's I guess, my point. Yeah. If you want to make indie film.
Yeah.
If you want to make Warner Brothers films, if you want to make other stuff.
There's a lot of gatekeepers.
There is a whole lot of gatekeepers. Yeah. But, you know, TikTok is what's kind of opened that up for me, because that's 15 seconds, guys.
Content.
15
content.
Seconds. Yeah. Anybody in their right mind can make 15 seconds. And trust me, this TikTok is full of crap. But
this is why I love doing YouTube content and doing this podcast. Yeah. Because we do stuff, we get it out there, you know, it's content, and we get to scratch that itch, you know?
And don't think that I, you know, as much as I always talk with my bravado and my boisterousness and what the frick ever, like, this isn't something that I knew. This was something that Ed taught me. And that comes from when you mentioned the YouTube and in the podcast. Because most people forget, because I don't bring it up very often, but I just filed the accounts for the company. And, you know, I had to look at the year before. And the year before, it's like we almost had a dormant company. Like, Ed and I, we didn't give up. We were working on Shredders, was the only thing we had. And there wasn't any passion there anymore. We were like, you know, he was working a really hard day job. I was having some personal issues with a lot of different things. And so we just couldn't get it together. And it was a bummer. And so to kind of bring everything back together, Ed was like, I had this idea for this podcast that we do now. Ed had this idea for Dirty 20. And we were like, maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll help get us back into loving what we do again. Because when we met each other, you know, we've stayed best friends the whole time. But when we met each other, we had dreams. We had aspirations of what we wanted to do. And we are not achieving those because we're just kind of sitting and waiting for it to happen.
Yes. To be fair, there was also just the learning curve of, you know, like what it takes to get a film off the ground.
And, well, that's what happened with me. You know. So I, you know, I came in for a producer, and you've all heard about this on the podcast, and she's always been a great supporter. Katie Bonham took me on like my first job, and then I worked a couple of the jobs. And we had actually some relatively good success early on. We had that music video that we always love, you know, that came out. And then we started pairing up for Shredders, and we had things in the pipeline. It just, all of a sudden, some of the other things we want to work on didn't start happening.
Yeah.
And I wasn't getting as many phone calls. And it is peaks and troughs. There are months when, like, people just don't care about our opinion anymore. And it's fine. You have to learn that has nothing to do with you.
Mm.
That has to do with just the way it works.
The industry,
and then sometimes
the world
you're busy,
large,
sometimes you're not. And when those quiet periods happen, that's when you get together with the people you want to make films with and you start working harder.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's what Ed and I did. We got together, we did Dirty 20, and, you know, man, we were so nervous about that when it first came out. But Ed came to me and said, I was nervous, I should say. And Ed said to me, I'm not nervous. And I said, well, why are you not nervous? He said, because I don't give a shit. He's like,
because we can do it.
We can do it. Yeah. And if we like it, then that's all that matters. And the podcast, that was everything. He's like, you need a platform, Jason, where you can just sound off about the and things you think about.
For an hour.
Because you do it anyway, and someone should be recording this because it's hilarious. But
we always used to say that. We always say, why don't we record our conversation? Like, I'm sure like a lot of like, you know, drunk middle-aged men do.
Yeah, of course. You know what I mean? Like,
but genuinely, I was like, well, you know, I think we could be pretty entertaining.
And that's why I say, listen, you know, watch the progression. We're on episode, this will be episode 84 of the podcast. God, that feels good to say that. And it's like, the reason that feels good is not because we say we've lasted, anybody can last 84 episodes, all right? All you have to do is make 84 episodes. And we would, because we listened to 84 episodes. However, we know we've progressed. Mm. Like, we know the first episode of Waka, and this one, it's really funny I call it Waka, because it's not actually how it is in the right one. I just like the way it sounds.
It just sounds good, yeah.
It just sounds good. It's way GTA. But
way GTA.
Way GTA. But the way it is now is just, we got on the indie filmmaker vibe. We found out that, you know, people wanted to listen to this. And I'll be honest, like, figures are dipping lately, but I'm like, well, I guess, you know, people are not as interested anymore.
I mean, I also think maybe, like, you know, the weather here in the UK is getting better.
He's trying to make me feel better. No, I don't. That's what I mean. I look at the figures because it's always nice to be able to kind of tell people where we're at with things. Because I asked, you know, how popular is it? You know, the other reason, though, is that, like, you know, if people listen,
to... We can't care. No. We have to just keep doing it and, like, keep getting better because...
Because that's what shows. That's why when we have our meetings, which we get lots of them now, which is so nice, you know, when we have our meetings with people, like, that's the passion they see. And for us, it became a calling card, too. When people ask me, like, well, what do you guys like as filmmaker? I'm like, you want me to pick out a couple episodes for you?
Like, listen to
like,
this.
How much time do you have? Like, if you have one episode, listen to that one. If you have, you know, if you have 1 hour, listen to this. If you have five, that's it. We've shown them our progression as filmmakers that way.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough talking about ourselves, because that's what we do the whole podcast anyway. But
surely,
we're just trying to encourage you guys. Like, the whole...
No, but I think this is all very related to the film, because I think that that's what they did.
It was passion. Yeah, it was passion. It was a passion project.
It was love. It was respect for the game. Because there are easy... There's maybe one joke, which I was like, yeah, I could have lived without that in the whole film.
Mm.
Which was the... When Mark the Red, he leaves because he's going to have coffee with his girlfriend.
I knew it. And I knew you would. And there's this one pausing moment where they all look up at the sky.
Where and one of them says, oh, can you imagine? Like, why would somebody want to not hang out with their friends in this stinky basement and be with a beautiful, intelligent woman? And then they, like, pause and look up. And I was like, yes, yes. But to me, that's the obvious joke. Do you know what I mean? The socially awkward...
I see. I like it in the perspective of that, because I think that's what can bring a general audience in to be like,
yeah,
listen, they recognize this. Right. Like it's almost like a kind of a mirror look saying, like, yeah, listen, these guys realize that
it's self-deprecating.
Exactly.
It's,
but yeah, had the whole film been self-deprecation, then or, it stops being as funny.
Or cliche. And,
right.
You know,
look at,
I mean,
these nerds playing D&D.
Yeah, like, like, yeah, with the glasses.
Because we hate that. You know what I mean? Like,
it's just not the case, especially nowadays when you look at, like, the landscape of D&D and you look at... Like, there's a very famous meme among D&Ders of a gym bro taking a picture selfie in the mirror, and you know, the caption that he put on Twitter was, I don't play D&D. And then Joe Manganiello replies to him with a picture of him on the cover of, like, GQ or, you know, Men's Fitness with his shirt off looking ripped, saying... I do.
This is why, Joe, we can't ever play with you, because my wife is like, I mean, we watched you in True Blood, that's a guy from True Blood, the werewolf in True Blood, right?
I think so,
yeah, sorry, man. Like, my wife salivated when you came on the screen. Hot, so like, if we ever played, as long as you don't bring up my wife
in
at
Magic,
all.
He was in Magic Mike. Look, you know I'll be honest. I would, if he hit on me, I'm just saying, man. Like,
it's getting a little Kevin Spacey now, right?
But no,
But that's what I mean. I mean, you know, I still go back to Eric, who you listen to the podcast. I love you so much. I hope you're doing okay, buddy. But remember when he did that meme for me when I was like, I said it on the podcast. I was like, you know, D&D, the original catfishing. Because that's the whole point, yes, guys. Like, no one likes being in their own skin all the time. Yeah. That's the whole thing. That's why D&D works for autistic people so well, because it helps them understand that they can be something else. I've seen it work with people who have English language barriers.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Amen.
Like,
children learning about, like, you know, consequences. And
right,
there was this documentary, it didn't get funded, unfortunately, but they were kickstarting it, and it was about playing D&D in prisons.
I remember the trailers for that, and that's another thing, like, if you can find it out, that the trailers, because Ed sent it to me ages, because we have put together campaigns for this. God knows I had a PSA I was going to do back when everybody's stuck in their houses.
That's right. I still have the recordings.
I know, we will do something with those guys at some point. It's just the moment passed, and it was like we got caught up with other things. But, you know, that's what I mean. Like, there's passion there, and that's what I think what they showed, you know, they showed, like, this is the fun you can have getting together with your friends, just doing it. And what I would say is, like, if you're a fan of this stuff, if you watch this and said, man, this is my gem. So, Eric, you're listening to this too. You work with us anyway, but if you're making your own thing outside of us, you know what I mean? Like, go for it. There is such a broadening landscape. The only thing, and I'm going to say it on the air and don't crucify me for it, the only thing that I'm not as keen about is this D&D movie. It's been done before, and the last one wasn't too good. It had Thora Birch in it, though, and you rock, but the rest of...
Jeremy Irons as
it
well.
It did, didn't it? Yeah. Yes, I mean, it wasn't horrible, but every
it
time
it's... It was horrible. Aww. I'm sorry, but it was horrible. And the problem is that...
So we've got Idris Elba coming into the new one, right?
Chris Pine, I think.
And so I'm like, problem is...
Is
it because D&D is naturally lo-fi? Is that the whole problem? It works in Stranger Things. Like, in Stranger Things, you love it when they're playing it. You know, and I've played the Stranger Things D&D, which we're going to someday do a live stream of that because I have it. And I'm still waiting. If you're listening to this and you really want to do, drop me a line either on Twitter or whatever and say, I will play in your game. Like, seriously, if you're listening and you're up for it, I will set it up in the next month. I want to
goals.
There's four characters. And I just want to DM it because I rarely get to DM anything. And this is an introductory lesson. So you do not have to be. It's preferable that you have little D&D experience because this is what this is made for.
Right.
Ed's played the campaign. It wasn't bad. It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I just want a live stream to let people let loose. So if you have a bit of theatrics to you as well, like, please just get a hold of me and we will go ahead and put this together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the movie, it's that's what it is for me. It's because, like, I don't see D&D that way as a big budget thing.
I think that, and that's the problem.
Maybe they can do it for me. As I said, I didn't see Marvel Comics that way. That's why, I was the guy who said, I am not watching those MCU films. They have commercialized, my love, you know what I mean? And now I am, like, the,
Mr. MCU.
Now I am the authority on the MCU, you know what I mean? The authority.
The Feige stalker.
Hey, there's Kevin. No, and Luis Esposito and Victoria Alonso. That's right. I go past stalking the main guy. Now I know the other two that are involved in this. So the three of you are sitting around listening to my podcast. I need a phone call from one of you because I'm telling you I can make you some money.
Don't worry. He's already been in your houses.
Don't say that. So not true. I don't even live in California.
Kevin, it's okay. This is a dream. I'm incepting you.
You really have written this. Will you just write this down so we can make a comedy show about it? Jason goes to visit Kevin Feige, but Kevin doesn't know he's there.
Yeah. Kevin wakes
this
up
is,
and
this
he's
is
like,
what I'm saying. This is KMPO. Why are you not writing this down?
I had this really weird dream. I think I want to make a film about it.
I think he was like Latino or black. I don't really know what. He talked like a white guy. It was really weird. And he smelled... I always smell. Sorry, I'm a diabetic, so I sweat profusely.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, we packed an awful lot of randomness to this episode because we loved this film.
I do want to talk about the ending just very quickly.
Please do. So we're going to wrap this up with a little bit of discussion about an ending and then a sign-off, and then you just have to tell us how you felt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the ending is... It becomes quite meta, doesn't it?
Oh, you mean the very ending. In my head, like, I don't even go there. Like, I always just remember the battle with the Shadow.
The Shadow.
The Shadow.
The Shadow.
Sorry, I love that.
Yeah. Which is great. That whole bit when they're walking down the corridor and he's like, keeps getting hit by the trap. But he's like, wait.
Extra slowly.
I'm every inch.
And again, Ed and I have been there. That was, I think, in the manor we did. You and I were, you were DMing and we were in the manor with the second party. We've done the manor. Damn it. I've never finished this one shot and I've done it with two different groups. And like, one of these days is going to let me play it and finish
it. I'm sorry.
But we had one where it was like every time they were like trying to avoid the badness. And it was like, I creep around. It was like, still hits you in the head.
when the barbarian like hurts his back trying to open the gate and the little elf lifts it up and then he does the sand people.
Evermoon.
The sand people. Oh, so good.
Sorry, I do this.
But the
Ed, do you remember? Ed loves my Star Wars
voices. It's my favorite. Ewok sad because his friend is dead. I love that shit. Oh, that's my jam. I want that to be my phone ringtone. Ooh, ooh.
Oops, Jason Cullen.
Also, like the victory dance when they win.
Oh,
the
yeah. Final battle. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, that's very American football.
Yeah, but it just captures that kind of, like, you know, the thing that you don't get, that it doesn't, that D&D doesn't, or RPGs don't really show to the world. You see, you know, idiots in costume taking things way too seriously. You see, right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, that's, I think, you know, sometimes I'm like, I blame it on Comic-Con because
yeah.
Comic-Con, when I was a kid, was nothing. Like, you wouldn't go to it with, I mean, you would if you were me, but most people couldn't right. be it was asked.
For comic book fans.
It was like yeah. nerd central. So when you're like, Mom, can you drop me at Comic-Con? She's like, do you sweaty. Want some mace for your...
Sweaty.
Because people are going to beat you up when you come out and take your lunch money. And it's like, yeah, they do that anyway, Mom. It's fine. But nowadays, it's like Comic-Con. Oh, we're all going to be so cool at Comic-Con. I'm like, Comic-Con's not cool, okay? I'm sorry, it's fun.
It's fun, right. It's fun, but it's...
It's not about being hip. It's about doing what you want to do. See, and being I think, who you want
to
be.
Okay, you've hit the nail on the head as to why the D&D films haven't worked. Mm. It's because people don't... The execs or whoever puts these films together doesn't realize that... It's about the fun. It's about the
you know,
community.
You know what a better version is? Is like, and I hate to say this, but a big budget version that reminds me more of D&D is the new Jumanjis.
Great, because great
it's
example.
People role
yes.
playing
yeah,
something
yeah, yeah.
different. Like that's the concept of D&D. Okay, yeah. That is what it is. It's people becoming
something
that they're not.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, one of the production things I'm working on, and Ed knows a little bit about this. I've ordered this game. It's a role playing game from over in America. It's made by I'll have to put his name in the credits, but. I read the concept, and it's a non-combat based RPG that takes place with, like, it's Redwall based, and he's not stealing it from those movies, Watership Down, where you have animals that are humanized.
Yeah.
But I loved those stories as a child, and my daughter, of course, is obsessed because we live in the forest. You know what I mean?
The wind in the willows.
Exactly. This is our jam. Like, this is what we get into. But the whole concept of the game is that you sit at campfires and tell stories to one another about your adventures.
Sounds
There's
amazing.
No combat, but I'm going to show this to people because this will help you. Like, I am the storyteller guy that loves other storytellers. I'm telling you, get 7 people in this game sitting around and you are going to go mental how much fun you're going to have creating and joining the creation. Mm. It's like having a writing room, but a writing room to me always sounds too clinical. You know what I mean? Like, a writing room is for writers. This is for everyone. You can just sit and make up stuff and have fun. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point. And that's why Comic-Con kind of started working, but almost, for me, peaked over a little bit.
Yeah, it became a vehicle for, like, hey, look at these cool things that are coming.
That's right.
Like,
you know, I remember the last one, I think I was with you the last one we were at, and you know, this guy in the Iron Man costume, and it was like, okay, man, like, it's cool, but, you know, like...
It is, but it just feels like they're just trying to sell you stuff.
Yeah, man, yeah. I'm like, come on, just leave it alone. So, you know, and that's why, I mean, with the movie, like, who knows? Like, and I'm not knocking Idris Elba, man. I effing love him.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. Hopefully we're massively wrong.
Chris
and they
Pine, you know, brought Star Trek from the brink for me. You know what I mean? And it's
a
like
better Captain Kirk than
and these
William
guys,
Chandler,
like, I'm
maybe?
Sure, like, the other thing is because it's now part of pop culture, like, I'm sure they're doing the research on it so they know kind of what needs to be there. My problem is how do you get that kind of production, the lo-fi, dirty indie
the
vibe,
magic,
past an exec
the
producer,
magic powder, and stuff
right?
Like,
you know, it's maybe if you told me Kevin Feige, you know I was going to say this.
A visionary, someone
because,
who can see,
because he was someone who loved the comics and then took that, you know, took Jack Kirby's visions of things and managed to somehow turn that into this epic whatever. If they do that with Dungeons and Dragons, and this is the first of, like, you know, because it's obviously what they want. They want a franchise.
They want a franchise.
Then fine. Like, I am totally willing to sit through an awesome tentpole film that celebrates one of the greatest games, in my view, of all time.
Amen.
But. And it's very much in with what Wizards of the Coast are doing. You know, we have seen them. You know, it's really funny. I almost applied for a job for them like 2 years ago. You remember that?
Yeah,
it was a sales job. And
yeah.
I'm pretty sure the guy who's doing it now is like coming out with all this cool stuff. I'm like, man, I just applied for that job. Because they are, you know, we you know, the last board game store that Ed worked in, there was a guy who there was always talking about mainstreaming this stuff. And what you have to do that is get more people with eyes on it, right?
Yeah.
You have to get people seeing that D&D is not just a bunch of guys in the basement.
And they're
anymore.
Doing a really good job.
They are. Like, they are just
Lord.
By, you know, Ravenloft, guides.
You're
you know,
always, yeah, you're always always going to have people complaining that it's not what they grew up with and it's not real D&D and stuff like that.
And but to that I say, you know, you can go to my house, like, and if you ever watch, you know, if I anything recorded out of my office, which I do have a few things online like that, you'll look at my bookcase. I mean, I have my old AD&D stuff.
You can play it, right?
I have my old Pathfinder book. Yeah. I have a bunch of old stuff. Spelljammer. We always want to play Spelljammer because it's so bizarre. It's basically ships in space, like, with the most bizarre
wild
rule set.
Space.
Yes, and it, like, makes no sense whatsoever. It didn't when I was a child, and it love doesn't it now, but I love the fact that my mom kept that for, like, 25 years, you know what I mean? Like,
hells
so,
yeah.
Thanks, Mom. So, do you know what I mean? Like, that's, I guess, the whole point of what we're getting to. You were going to talk about the ending,
yes,
though, before
end.
We got horribly sidetracked because
again,
we love this show so
yeah,
much.
That's true. So, at the end of the film, they've defeated the Shadow.
The Shadow!
And, but they haven't found the princess. So they continue through the dungeon.
Mm.
And at one point, they're walking through this darkened corridor and you see an exit sign. Like, you see, clear as day, emergency exit.
Yes.
And they're in their costume. And thus far, again, it was very lo-fi, but it was all the woods, the tavern. They were in
it's
the
all
world.
Smash cuts.
Yeah.
It goes one to the other. Right. It never, you know, puts the two together.
And for a second, I was like, again, this is where the lo-fi really kind of helps here. Because...
Did you think continuity error?
No, I didn't think continuity error. I thought, okay, well, they had a limited amount of places where they could shoot. And then I'm like, oh, shit. Because they do a very clever writery thing, which is they let it build, right? So it starts with them walking down this corridor and then it cuts back to in the room and they're like, oh, did anybody hear that? Like, no. And then the DM is narrating and you're walking down this strange place and you hear voices behind a door. And then it cuts back to the guys and they're behind the door and they're like, I hear voices. And it dawns on you and you're like, oh, this is fucking brilliant. And... you know, it all kind of comes to a head. They essentially kind of meet.
Right, and you have, you know, what I told Ed is it's one of my favorite endings of all time. It's the Monty Python Holy Grail ending. And I only love that because as a child, I watched that probably the first time I saw Monty Python, I was like 11, 12 years old. Love them, have always, I mean, I ended up in England.
The knights
I?
That say, nee. Nee.
We are now the knights who say, nee, 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 what? And then someone in the background goes, nee. So, you know, at the end of that one, obviously the guy's beheaded and everybody's like, oh my God. And I always remember being like, why did that happen? And the base part is like when I was in my 20s, somebody was like, that's because they ran out of money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Like, they just didn't have enough money to finish the film. So they're like, well, we'll just chop his head off and end it. So
but then they get arrested and they're like, what? What's going on? I'm king of the Britons. But you're right. It's that kind of meta, ridiculous, Monty Python-esque.
Well,
which is
it's
genius.
It's really clever because obviously the entire time it was a one-way system,
right? Exactly.
So you were
they'd set up
you
the,
were paralleling,
the
but it was a one-way system, and then for the briefest moment it reverses back on itself. It's
yes.
why, Ed, if you love these guys, they made another series called Households and Heroes, and I told you about this.
Mm.
All of you go find it. You can buy if you want to buy the gamers and all the other stuff with it, you can find this there too. I have them all, so you know, if you ever want to come over and watch one of them. You know what I mean? But there's a series they did. It was the last thing that I bought of this group. I haven't check to see if they've come out anything since then, but it was Households and Heroes, and basically it opens up and they all come into like a castle, into a dungeon, and it was a bit like, huh, it's the same characters you've seen throughout the episode, so you know this is going to be funny. But then they all sit down and like he's like, get the scroll out, and they start playing and they're like, they're RPGing the suburbs.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. And like one person plays the soccer mom.
Yeah.
One plays that I think they plays the dog. And it's just like, I couldn't stop laughing because no one does that. No one turns it on itself.
Yeah,
but
there
was like the knight is playing the dog, you know? And it's, oh, it was so great. So, you know, great follow-up to this one. If you enjoyed what you saw, there's that one. The other one that's really funny is that in the last one that I saw, there's a Shadowrun one as well that they've done.
Ooh, cyberpunk.
Yeah.
And it's
really fun. It's all based on, these are all the characters, because by this time they have a story and kind of a life together. And this is all about, like, he's marrying into, one of the characters is marrying another into this family, and they're all, like, Shadowrun players. So they make him, like, do a Shadowrun campaign just to prove his worth. It's hilarious.
Okay.
Like, absolutely hilarious. I think it's called The Natural or something like that. So... But again, you guys have heard, I mean, we've gone on for at least an hour and a half on this one. And it's like, this really was something that touched us, and that's why we give you the podcast on it. I'm going to have Ed watch Indie Game, the movie next week, because I think from our creative aspects, you know, he put me on to, you know, was it Song Exploder?
Song Exploder, yeah.
Because Ed also knows, like, and you may not know this, but I am a musician. Like, and I say that proudly now, the same way I say I'm a filmmaker. Like, you know, I've played music since I was like 6 years old. I love creating it. I don't do it nearly as much as I used to. I'd love to produce it, but it's just the way it is. And and Song Exploder is like, for musicians, like, they get you. I was watching Dua Lipa, which I don't know who that was. Like, yeah. I don't listen to that much pop music. I loved her song. I thought it was dope. But it got me in the studio with her and Coffee, and I can't remember the other woman's name, but her songwriters and the people that do this. And I'm telling you, that's what gets you into music. Like, watching people create that way and put their heart onto a track, it's like... It's like gold.
Are you warming to Rishi Hirakawa? The
No. I watched it with my wife, I'm really sorry, mate, but it's because you're too millennial. You're too like too straight laced. What he's doing, which is completely different for me, and this is why he gets the jobs and I don't. Like he takes a complete step back. Mm. He's very monotone.
Yeah.
He doesn't make facial expressions.
Yeah.
He asks a straight question let them put it in there. You know, that's why you're amazing, and I'm sure that's why you get hired. I'm just not that kind of guy.
No,
like,
I
want to be with you. I want to be like, show me what you got. You know what I mean?
I found out about him because I'm obsessive about the West Wing, and he's also obsessed about the West Wing, and he did a podcast with one of the actors from the West Wing.
Oh man.
Where they watched every episode and then
it's so hard. Like the West Wing, like for me, like, oh man, we could have a whole other podcast on that one. But the problem I always have with the West Wing, Ed, is like, it was a movie. It was a film. Like people look at that and say, oh my God, like I really wish the president could have really been like that. Like so does everybody else, but it was a TV show. So all I'm saying is like, that wasn't reality.
Yeah, Aaron Sorkin, though, baby. I mean, you know, for writers, he...
Oh, no. And that's why it works so well, because it's so close to reality. Mm. It's just, I've dealt with so many, and it usually comes on the liberal side, of course, in America. And I come from the Midwest, which is very conservative, so that's probably why I feel this way. But, like, you know, they want it that way, and it's like, it doesn't work for everybody that way. If you love the West Wing, you obviously love film and TV and all that stuff, but you may not be a person that loves the West Wing, and you may be an American.
Real politics.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it has to be for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was a great, like...
And I only ever watched the first three seasons, so I shouldn't talk like I know that
technically
much.
Those are the best seasons, because that's when Aaron Sorkin was writing.
Oh my God, I Was More Charlie. It had Elizabeth Moss. That's kind of her first roles, right?
It was her first role, and she lied about her age to get it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said she was like 18 or something.
Good
she was
for
16.
You, Lizzie. Good for you.
I mean, it's the birth... I mean, the cast, the whole cast.
I'm sorry. She, you know, if you guys want to know, like, top three lists, she'd probably be maybe two, maybe one. Like, sorry, man.
I haven't seen The Invisible Man.
You have to watch The Invisible Man. Yeah. You have to watch The Handmaid's Tale. Like, she just delivers.
Such a rough watch.
You know, and Mad Men obviously was the genesis for me. Mad Men, Lizzie, like, she's amazing because she reminded me of my mother. You know what I mean? Like, she's from Brooklyn in that.
Peggy in that?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, she comes from the same area my mom grew up in. It was just like, God, this is such a good Brooklyn story about what it was like growing up in that time. Because that's you know, my mother's story.
Yeah.
So,
so
at any rate, after talking about...
Yeah, we went from the gamers to the West Wing somehow.
It happens because we're so excited. This is why I like it better when we're in the same room with one another, because we get a lot more talked about. But thank you all very much for listening. As I said, if you want to prep for next week, we're going to be watching Indie Game, the movie. I'm putting it down there because I need Ed to watch it for something else we've got going on to get him fired up. And please continue to listen. Please continue to share. You know, if you want to subscribe to us on SoundCloud, that would be great. And let us know what you think. The other thing is, we want to hear from you. Like, we hear from the people who know us, we hear all the time from. But if you're a random listener and say, I have a comment on this, like, please, like, even if it's a bad comment, we would rather hear it than not. So please get in touch, and please let us know what you're thinking about all this great stuff. But for me, that's bye-bye. Ed, you got anything else?
You know, if you're not a gamer, I'd be really interested to see your thought or to hear your thoughts on this particular featurette. And if you're a gamer and you haven't watched it, trust me, go watch it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jason, for introducing it to me. And
bye-bye.
Welcome to the campaign. I'm about to put the party in the fast lane. Bring pain to the divine and arcane. Go hard like a bard on cocaine. Unchained, I'm a PC's nightmare. Better believe I'm prepared to go there. Bar fight with
71 bugbears. Put your DPR in a wheelchair. This is the way that it goes. Everyone knows. I keep them up on their toes. I never run out of foes. So I suppose you should be practicing those. Put a quest up in the Northwest.